There aren't words to describe the sting of Sunday's loss in the NFC Championship game. The Green Bay Packers led for almost 58 minutes despite being an underdog on the road. They had a two-score lead with 55 minutes into the game and yet watched it slip away, their chance at a Super Bowl gone. We tried to make sense of it all with Nate Rao, reporter for the Tennessean, here at Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central next. Brian Kirvu, joined by our live blog director Jamie Snowen, along with Alex Talich. I don't know how much of a good morning it is. The Green Bay Packers lose in the NFC Championship game. We'll break it all down. Normally, I have a guest on the show. When they're a journalist, they cover the Packers, but we welcome another type of journalist today, Nate Rao of the Tennessean. Nate, how you doing today?
Good, Brian. How are you doing? Thank you for having me on. Pretty cool for me as a long-time listener to be a guest.
Well, we're glad to have you join us. Now, I want you to explain to our listeners that what you do with the Tennessean, because like I said, we normally have football people on the show. I mean, you're a football person, you're a fan, but you cover quite a different beat. Could you explain that?
Yeah, I'm a business reporter with the Tennessean, and my beat here in Nashville is the music industry. So, you know, the same way that Packer beat reporters cover the Packers and cover the NFL, I cover the music industry and sort of its impact on Nashville and our economy.
So how does a journalist from the Tennessean become a Packers fan, though?
Well, I'm a native of Northwest Indiana and a long line of Packer fans in our family. And I had the, you know, profoundly unique and amazing experience of being able to attend games growing up. So, of course, you know, at first we had the Milwaukee package. So we listened or we went to games up there. And then when they, you know, transferred those tickets over to Green Bay, we got to go to Lambeau growing up. So that hooked me from a young age.
It hooks everybody, I think, who's a fan of the Packers at that age. It just draws you in. But I'm sorry to have to do this to you. My first time talking to you ever, Nate, in person. We've communicated on Twitter before, and now we got to kind of cover such a tough loss.
Right.
I kind of wanted to go through a series of play that seemed like they could have potentially clinched a victory, but seemed to elude the Packers' grasp. Starting back in the first quarter, the Packers were twice at the one-yard line and elected to kick field goals. Would you have gone for the touchdown if you were the coach of the Packers, Nate?
You know, I didn't have a problem with kicking the field goals there. I understand in hindsight why it's easy to wonder if you punch one in and what difference that would have made, but I just felt like this was a game that was going to be a defensive battle, a low-scoring game, and I felt like, you know, making your kicks could be a difference in the game. So, you know, when you're that close, it's disappointing. I think the Packers have to do some soul searching about their red zone offense and maybe upgrade in that area this offseason. But I think those were the right calls.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I'm kind of the opinion that it didn't really matter what they did. I was fine with them kicking field goals. I probably would have been fine had they elected to go for the touchdown, too. But I can't complain with the points, certainly. Fast forward to the third quarter. The Packers have the Seahawks in 3rd and 19, and they concede a first down. Was it too conservative to send just 3 pass rushers after Russell Wilson? Because it sure seemed like at a moment they should have had the ball.
Yeah, and, you know, it's weird because if you look at that play on it, I don't want to be an apologist to the Packers, and I'm no X's and O's expert, but if you look at that play on its own, it does look foolish. But I think if you look at the sequence, they really looked like they had Wilson con- rushing multiple people. They were coming after him, it felt like, from all angles. They were getting some great hits on him. And you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I hadn't seen them just rush three and drop back like that. I think that they were thinking they had this guy mystified, and if we drop and we cover, he'll be confused and he'll make a bad throw. Again, in hindsight, it was the wrong decision. He made a great throw, but I didn't have a problem with it because I felt like it was consistent with Capers, trying to confuse him, trying to mix him up, throw an array of coverages at him. And, that one didn't work. He made a great throw.
It's a tough one there. I don't know what I would have done as a coach. I mean, 3rd and 19, it's, sometimes you send just three after the quarterback in that situation, but better pass rush may have had a different outcome. There were two big special teams blunders, allowing a touchdown on a fake field goal. Then later tight end Brandon Bostic fails to haul in the onside kick attempt. We could break down either of these plays, but instead I'll ask, does special teams coordinator Sean Slocum keep his job?
I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say all these coaches keep their jobs. I don't know. I saw people apologizing for Bostic. What would you do if the ball's coming at you and you have to make that snap decision? The bottom line is he was supposed to be blocking on that play. It's basically, it's a play they were running, So the guys up front block, you hear hand unit, you think everybody out there is supposed to try to make a play on the ball. But he was supposed to, get down and almost like a run block or a coverage block. And he, for whatever bizarre reason, chose not to do that. And I don't want to lampoon the guy. I heard some fans, obviously crossing that line with him, which was too bad with some of the response he got on social media. But he made a terrible mistake, and Hawk made a terrible mistake on the fake field goal. I mean, you have to keep up with an offensive lineman meandering down the field like that. So that was disappointing by AJ, and it was a disappointing play by Bostic. And it was a disappointing end to an entire season for Bostic. I think this time last year, me and a lot of fans thought, man, this guy could be a difference maker on the offense. But it didn't pan out, and that was too bad there.
Yeah, it really was. I have a hard time defending Brandon Bostic as, what the choice he made. And, he made a poor play. I certainly don't. These people that have attacked him on social media, I think they have better things to do with their life. But it's hard to defend what he did on the field, though. With less than 5 minutes to go, the Packers run Eddie Lacy three times in a row for -4 yards. Do you have an issue with Mike McCarthy's conservative play calling, not just here, but the aforementioned field goals early in the game? I mean, you didn't have a problem with that, but do you think they should have gone for the jugular late in the game?
And I saw in Bob McGinn's game story this morning, he pointed that out. The Seahawks, this is one where I think McCarthy did make a mistake. The Seahawks were selling. It wasn't just like, I understand you want to run the clock and burn timeouts, but the Seahawks were clearly selling out for the run, and it just seems like you could have, punched it into Rodgers, Richard Rodgers, or Cobb over the middle. It seems like that play was there, and that's one where I wish they had gone for the jugular. And you're paying Aaron Rodgers all that money. I'd like him to be the one that decides the games, and that's the one sequence where I wish they would have just put the ball in his hands and gotten the one one first down might have done it. You correct me if I'm wrong, but two certainly would have. So that was a disappointment. That was hard to watch.
Yeah. I sit here and go through all these situations and I'm just at a loss. I mean, you get one first down and the game's over perhaps, or at least two, or they were in field goal range too. So,
correct me if I'm wrong. They threw the ball to Nelson and got one first down. Is that right? On one of those last two possessions?
I'm talking about the one after Morgan Burnett's interception.
Oh, okay.
I don't think that was the same series.
So no first down. Right.
But I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
But, It's tough. The Packers safeties, by most accounts, had great games. Morgan Burnett had 2 sacks and an interception. Ha-ha Clinton Dix had 2 interceptions, yet both of them have head-scratching plays. Clinton Dix inexplicably doesn't defend the two-point conversion, and Morgan Burnett slides after getting that interception. What's going through your mind when you see these plays?
You know, the interception the interception is a weird play, because when you're watching it, it looks like he has so much field to run. And again, I'm going by the game stories and what the professionals who were there said, but they said that Peppers was giving him the hands down signal to slide down. Mm-hmm. I didn't notice that on screen. It didn't make sense, but I got flooded with texts after that play with friends, Packer fans and non-fans saying, congrats, game's over, things like that. So Morgan's obviously thinking, if I fumble it, you know, that could be catastrophic. I think they just wanted to get out of there. But obviously, a field goal wins the game. If he gets another 10 or 15 yards, they're probably certainly in field goal. And it looked like, you tell me what you thought, it looked to me like he might have been able to score nonetheless 10 or 15 more yards.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I don't blame him for sliding when, like, contact is going to come, but he had so much green space ahead of him that it didn't seem like he had to slide that early.
Yeah. And then, haha, I didn't understand. I mean, it's so easy to say this as a fan, but it was truly one of the, the comedy of errors and the comedy of mistakes. That was truly one of the worst on that 2-point conversion in the whole game. I couldn't watch the replay. That was like me. I had to turn my head away at that point. It just felt like, you know, everything was pouring down on us. And, to me, you're right. He played a great game. I thought he tackled really well. I thought he was great in coverage. Those interceptions, the second interception was nothing short of amazing. And it's too bad to have that tarnished with that mistake on the 2-point conversion.
We're talking to Nate Rao of the Tennessean here at Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central on a Monday morning. Nate, was it a surprise to see the Packers defense become such a sieve in overtime after playing so well early in the game?
It was a surprise to me because they did play so well early. I think the Seahawks receivers are a below average group. And to see them just rip off those long pass plays after, you know, you'd shut them down for really 2.5 quarters was astonishing. You know, I mean, there's nothing you can do except just throw your hands in there and say, what in the world is going on? I didn't get the coverages. I don't understand why you don't have a safety deep on the second play. You know, they just completed the long pass play. They're showing you they've got something going. So I don't know why you don't have someone deep to help out Tremont on that last throw. But at the same time, Tremont had shut Kirst down the entire game. It was strange defense and then good execution by Seattle.
Any thoughts on Clay Matthews coming out late in the game, kind of inexplicably? Don't really know if he had an injury. It wasn't too bad. He kind of came in and out of the game. You see Richard Sherman playing with one arm. He's all hurt. But Clay Matthews, not the same way.
Yeah, and, you know, it's kind of sad for our defense that when Clay's not out there, it just seems to make such a remarkable difference. Mm-hmm. You know, the way they move him around, sometimes, you know, you've got Hawk and Barrington in there. You've got, man, I think the Packers' talent at outside linebacker is fantastic. And so you think he ought to be able to, if he's dinged up, he knows his body. If he's dinged up, he said a variety of things crept up on him or something to that effect after the game. So it sounds to me like it was multiple injuries. You think we've got the talent to give him a breather for a few plays, and then it's just disappointing that they couldn't absorb his absence for those 1 or 2 series.
Yeah, if there's one position the Packers have to upgrade in the offseason, I think it's inside linebacker, where I just don't think A.J. Hawk and Brad Jones getting the job done there at that position. Nate, what's kind of your long range outlook here for 2015 and beyond? Is this a loss that's going to linger and haunt this Packers team for a while? Are they able to get back to the promised land eventually?
Well, I have a few thoughts. I believe in the window of opportunity theory when you have a once in a generation quarterback like Rodgers, but he's got to play better in the postseason. He missed some throws yesterday. He's had a run of poor performance. I know he's hurt, but he's had a run of poor performances. And if they're going to build this team around him, then he's got to play better. I love the position this team is in terms of the talent coming back the salary cap situation.
Yep.
I think they've got some developmental prospects that are really exciting to think about what they could become. Man, this rookie class alone.
Yeah.
So I feel happy and confident about the state of the team. The stability that Thompson and McCarthy bring. But I think we need our superstar, you know, to play like it in the playoffs, because that's how this team is constructed. And it seems like, and I think the stats bear this out, in the losses the last few years, he hasn't stood up. Look at Tom Brady. You know, he's taken his team back on in his mid-30s, and I have faith that Rodgers will do the same. But you know, I think he's got to play like Tom Brady in the playoffs.
Yeah, he was inexplicably off on several throws yesterday. And he's dealing with the injury, but he hasn't been the Rodgers of 2010, I guess, is what we've seen. Nate, if I'm looking for something to cheer me up, now you cover the music industry in Nashville. Mm-hmm. There's got to be some crazy, unfathomable story you've seen or you've heard. I know I'm putting you on the spot here, but mm-hmm. is there anything you can share that might bring me a small diversion here?
Well, I'll just go, if you Packer fans haven't heard of a Nashville artist named Sturgill Simpson, and you just want to not think about the Packers today,
okay,
and you just want to listen to some amazing music, check him out. He's been an independent artist. He just signed a major label record deal on Friday, actually, with Atlantic Records. I think he's one of the top artists in any genre in the country. He's nominated for a Grammy, I think, in a couple of weeks. So he's not on everybody's radar screen, even though he's played some of the late night shows and things like that. But if you just want a diversion and a distraction and a good dude who worked in the rail yard in Utah and is a self-made guy and a great artist, then I'd say check out his music today. Don't listen. Don't get too bogged down in listening to the experts tell us how we blew the game and maybe distract. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go back to the office. I'm going to listen to maybe some George Jones. Some sad country music and kind of take a day or two and then get back to Packers in the middle of the week.
Sounds good. That's some very good advice and something I'll take to heart here. Have you ever come across any small connections in the music industry to the Packers? Any Packers fans among the celebs?
Oh, man. Yeah, there's, you know, Nashville is loaded with Midwesterners. Just in our newsroom, we've got, I think, three people from Wisconsin who are Packer fans.
Oh, wow.
Our country music columnist, who just left, unfortunately, for the Country Music Hall of Fame, was a huge Packers fan. So there's a good Packer contingent down here. I know that they're disappointed today, but I'm definitely not alone here in Nashville as far as rooting for the Packers.
Were you there at the preseason monsoon in Tennessee?
I was. In fact, I missed the touchdown drive with the starters, and then I can't remember why I did. I know we were on Lower Broad with my buddy who's a Titans fan, and I missed the most interesting aspect of the game. That's the most wet, most unpleasant weather I've ever experienced for a preseason game. But I was there cheering on the Packers and stayed until the end of the game, if you can believe it. Although it dried up after that series, so it wasn't quite a. It wasn't quite as bad as early on, but yeah, I was there.
That was a crazy game. Nate, I apologize for the circumstances in which we had to talk here today, but you did great, and thanks for coming on the show, and better times ahead.
Absolutely. You know, midway through the fourth quarter, I was thinking, this is going to be a fun chat with Brian tomorrow to introduce myself. I love what you guys do. I think Cheesehead TV is one of the coolest sports sites, blogs you'll ever find, and I think you in particular do a great job. So thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Well, that's very generous of you. Thanks a lot, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Brian. Take care.
Nate Rau of the Tennessean joining us here at Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central on a Monday morning. Thanks to him for joining us. Thanks to you, the listener, for joining us as well as we try to work our way through a Packers loss. Consider this your therapy session for a very disappointing outcome on Sunday to the Seattle Seahawks. Like I've said, all things being considered, this one's tough. You know, the Packers going on the road, they are underdogs, touchdown underdogs. and to play as well as they did, you know, particularly the first quarter, but generally the entire first half, playing very, very well. This is a bitter pill to swallow. Coming away with the Packers should have won this game, and you had to feel good at halftime. You had to feel good. I mean, what it was, the Packers had a two-score lead. They were up, I believe, 19-7 with just 4 or 5 minutes. I think it was just under 5 minutes left in the game when Morgan Burnett gets that interception. And it's hard to believe they couldn't put the game away. It's remarkable. I don't know how to explain it. I was crushed yesterday, as everybody else was. I in particular was very disappointed. Had the Packers gone to the Super Bowl and won, there was an opportunity for me to write a book on the Green Bay Packers in the 2015 season, or 2014 season, pardon me. And I was very much looking forward to that. And for that not to come to fruition because of the way the Packers lost has really put a damper on the past, 18 hours or so, whatever's passed from the game. It's disappointing to see, and this one's going to linger. I know some people out there have kind of thought, you know, where does this stack up in the pantheon of Packers losses lately? Whether it's, you know, 4th and 26 to the Philadelphia Eagles, the 2007 NFC Championship game loss to the Giants at Lambeau Field, and Brett Favre's last game in a Packers uniform, the playoff loss to Terrell Owens catching the touchdown pass late in the game. There's more too that I'm missing. You know, recent playoff losses to the Giants and 49ers since Super Bowl XLV. There's no shortage of losses to, we could go and talk about which one is the most painful, but to be so close to victory, that's it's tough to get through the day. But I suppose here, I'll bring your silver linings for you with your
Packers news of the day.
Packers lose 28-22, and I think we've recapped the bad part of the game enough. Here's what the Packers have going for them. I mean, for all the bad things that happen, how about kicker Mason Crosby yesterday going 5 for 5 on field goals in wet and windy conditions? The last of which, his 48-yarder do-or-die situation to punch the game into overtime, and he does it. And also, I thought perhaps even almost as impressive as the field goals, where here's a kicker that isn't necessarily known for his length on kickoffs, and Mason Crosby has 4 touchbacks yesterday. And I think at least one other, the Packers covered and tackled the runner inside the 20-yard line. Mason Crosby just had the game of his life yesterday. He now has 16 consecutive field goals in the postseason. What a great job there. And definitely probably the MVP of the game yesterday. For what he was able to do. It just was amazing, the job that Mason Crosby did. One of the best performances you can possibly imagine from a kicker in postseason history, in NFL history. Did a really, really good job. I mean, I suppose the only thing he probably could have done was connect from 50 yards and beyond, but, I mean, 3 of his field goals were from beyond 40, so... great job there. As for the future, and your Nate Rao kind of alluded to this earlier, but there's so much here, I think, to be positive about. Mike McCarthy maybe contributed to this loss, but, you know, I think there's a lot of people out there that overreact and, you know, get rid of McCarthy or whatever. To that, I say you're crazy. here's a coach that's already, you know, won a Super Bowl, and here there are people saying, oh, they're never going to win another Super Bowl again with Mike McCarthy. Yeah, excuse me? Pardon me? I think as long as Aaron Rodgers is in Green Bay, Mike McCarthy has a very good shot at winning another Super Bowl. Yeah, I mean, there's things he can improve. Hopefully he learns from it, where they can maybe put the foot on the gas pedal a little bit more late in the game. But other than that, you know, I'm not here to lambaste McCarthy and call for his head or anything like that. The only person I'll call for his head is Sean Slocum, and he may not have to because he may possibly just simply step down, retire, walk away, whatever here. The Packers do have to make a change there on special teams after this, you know, poor season. I mean, they give up the fake field goal for a touchdown yesterday. They can't catch the onside kick, but that is just a couple more in a long line of blunders this season, with 7 blocked kicks allowed by the Packers special teams this season. Sean Slocum, I'm sorry. Your time has come to an end. But as far as Mike McCarthy goes, I'm in his corner. He's fine, and Dom Capers is fine. I think you can point to almost any coach in the NFL and criticize them from time to time and decisions they make, things like that. But I'm okay with these guys. And like I said, as long as Aaron Rodgers is, you know, Aaron Rodgers, the Packers have a chance every season. Just take a look at, you know, how long Peyton Manning was effective. And we're kind of seeing him perhaps come to the end of his career here in Denver. But how old is he? I mean, he's getting near 40 years old, and Aaron Rodgers is just turning 30. I mean, we're looking forward to still perhaps the better part of a decade in which Aaron Rodgers at the quarterback position can still be effective and still be one of the top players in the game. I don't see him, you know, regressing anytime soon. Yeah, he might be limited by injury like he was this year, but even then, I mean, you have a chance. When Aaron Rodgers at 50%, you have a chance, as you saw this year. Hopefully that calf gets healed soon. I doubt we're going to see Aaron Rodgers play in the Pro Bowl. I don't know if that's been made official or not, but we'll find out here shortly. But, I mean, take a look at the rookies on this roster. Ha-ha Clint Dix coming up with the best game of his young career yesterday. The two-point conversion was inexplicable. I think I used that adjective already once, but I don't know what else to say. But other than that, you know, 2 interceptions, should have had a 3rd interception for Ha-ha Clint Dix. He's doing great. Devontae Adams showing he very much has a lot of promise in him. Tight end Richard Rodgers, wow, the way he emerged late in the season, particularly like the last 3 games or so, was fantastic. I mean, just go through the roster and you look at these guys and you're thinking, wow, the Packers really have some opportunities here, and hopefully they're just, you know, abetted by the other rookies on the team who maybe didn't get much of a shot this year. Look at third rounder Kyree Thornton, spent the entire year on injured reserve. So did wide receiver Jared Abradaris. I mean, people were hoping these guys would be promising rookies, and maybe they will be next year. Linebacker Carl Bradford and wide receiver Jeff Janis, those guys barely played this year. Carl Bradford didn't play at all. But, you know, they make the position switch with Bradford, hoping he'll be an inside linebacker. The Packers need help at inside linebacker. Maybe he's the guy who can give them some of that depth they need there. And then, you know, obviously Jeff Janis, is you saw flashes from him in the preseason. And you know that he's capable of big playability. Maybe the Packers will get that. So, I mean, now we're talking about 2015. These guys are second-year players. Now add a new rookie class, albeit one that the Packers will be picking near the end of every round, You know, they're going to have the, what, the 30th pick in the draft? Or is it 29th? I think 30th, right? So it's going to be tough from that perspective. But still, if the incoming rookie class can provide anything, I think this team is set up for time to come. They got to make a switch with the special teams coach. They've got to get some depth somehow at inside linebacker. I think perhaps A.J. Hawks and Brad Jones' careers have to come to a close, this chapter ending in Green Bay. Or at least if they come back, you know, they've got to be bench players and hardly see the field unless there's injuries ahead of them. And I'm not sure you can even afford it then. You saw the way A.J. Hawk looked yesterday. You know, he made a poor choice in, you know, letting go his man on that fake field goal. Had he just stayed with him, you know, the outcome of this game could be different. But whenever A.J. Hawk was in on defense, just fails to make an impact. When Clay Matthews came out of the game late, A.J. Hawk had to play a little bit more late in the game. And the athleticism, the talent just isn't there. Shore up the inside linebacker position, get a new special teams coach. I think those might be priorities one and two for the Packers, as well as signing some of their own free agents. Looking forward to, you know, re-signing Randall Cobb, Brian Bulaga. I think priorities A and B right there with the Packers organization. But other than that, Packers team is in good shape here. So that's what I like seeing forward. And what we can talk about for an entire off season here. Going to be a long off season, but looking forward to dissecting it and examining the minutia of the Packers roster in terms of glimpses we can see in the upcoming 2015 season. Hopefully, they get back on top of the world then. So, what we have today then?
The day ahead.
At 1265 Lombardi Avenue on a Monday morning. It is the final media availability for players today. I imagine head coach Mike McCarthy will have a final season-ending press conference. I'm not sure what time it is yet. I'm not sure even the Packers know exactly precisely when. Maybe they do. I haven't even looked on the Packers official website to see if they've published it yet. But this will be the last time you hear from Packers players for weeks, for months perhaps. So make sure to dig into your local media outlets and consume the coverage that they're doing today, because this will be the last opportunity to hear from Packers players for quite a while. And we'll find out when Mike McCarthy's press conference is. In the his post-mortem press conference from the NFC Championship loss, and several Packers talk shows later on Monday as well. So we'll round it up in the Packers calendar here at Cheesehead TV, but that'll do it for today's show. Thank you, everybody, so much for tuning in. I know it's tough. Hopefully this gave you a little bit of to think about today and maybe provided a little bit of therapy after a disheartening loss, to say the least, here. On a Monday morning following an NFC Championship disappointment. But anyway, we'll see you, folks. Thanks to Nate Rao of the Tennessean for joining us on the show. On behalf of Jamie Snowden, Alex Talich, I'm Brian Kirivu. I leave you today with a song called New Country Blues by the Emmett Nershey Band on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack, go. Drink your cool, cool liquor from the jar.